And with this outline, I'm not going to be a monologuer. I'm here to join with you to enjoy what God is speaking through these printed words. Now, for those who are younger than 25 years old, please raise up your hand. Amen. Very good. Well, to impress us, would you mind all stand up and declare the subject of this mini conference? Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
The recovery of Christ as everything in the church.
Amen. Hallelujah. And those who are older than 25, but younger than 35, please stand up and declare the subject of this mini conference. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, to further strengthen this conference, let's all who were older than 35 and read the subject of conference again. Amen. The recovery of Christ as everything in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. So, this mini conference is what? Say it again. Anybody can tell me? The recovery of Christ as everything in the church. Okay. 50 years ago, when Brother Witness Lee brought the recovery to America, he gave a conference. And that conference is called All-Inclusive Christ. And that conference, the content of the speaking of the conference was printed in the book with the same title, The All-Inclusive Christ. And 30 years ago, 1983, and the Lord's Recovery in America had a big turn and also had a restart. And from that start, Brother Lee began to share that Christ and the church. Besides Christ and church, he also spoke Christ is the church. The body is Christ. So it was 30 years ago, just like that, gone. Now, 30 years later, 2013, we are entering another chapter of another 30 years. That, how are we going to restart? We restart by going back to the basics. What is Christ? What is the church? And how you can enjoy Christ and the church together as everything. For those who are younger than 35, probably they have no idea what is the recovery of Christ as everything in the church. I don't blame you. You may all say, what is that? Christ recovered as everything in the church? What's the point? Well, that's why we have this mini conference. So that we will all understand what is Christ as everything in the church. From the words of this title, you can see that the content of the mini conference. First, the recovery. Recovery means there was something there, but somehow, somewhat, it was lost. But lost, but not forever. It came back. This is called recovery. And then Christ as everything. I will put Christ a little later because all the rest of the conference is sharing about Christ. I will go into this matter of everything. What is everything? To do your homework is one of everything, isn't it? To study in universities is everything, isn't it? And to pick up your room, be a clean and proper person in your dress and in your going out, in meeting your girlfriend or boyfriend, or going to work honestly, and to drive courteously and safely, and you name it. That's everything. Everything means everything. In the church. And then what is the church? You say, well, the church is church in Chicago. Well, it's somewhat true. But the church, you have to remember, is not that kind of concept that we carry with us day after day. We heard a church about doing this, a church about doing that, a church is this, 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 this. We forgot what the church was really is. The church was created in Matthew 16:18, when the Lord said, I will build my church. Amen. When God says something, that thing came into being. When God created heaven and earth came into being. When Christ spoke, the church spoke forth the church. There's a such thing called a church came into being, universally as well as locally. Universally, you found that in chapter 16:18, but in 18:18 of Matthew, you see the local churches came into being. When the Lord Jesus spoke, the church came into being. Before the Lord spoke such a word, there's no such English called the church. There's no such a Greek word either. The Lord made it up. No, the Lord created. That's the church we are talking about. Christ is everything to be enjoyed as everything in the church. It's the content of this mini conference. And this was lost somewhat, or it's become vague somehow, become somewhat forgotten. Now we need to recover it. So the community conference is to recover the Christ as everything in the church. In your doing your homework, in doing your chores in the house, carry out cash, shovel the snow, and what did you do? You have no idea. But when you say, Lord, what shall I do? That is enjoy Christ. In your studies, in your homework, in your shoveling snow, in your carrying out the trash. Have you ever tried that? I don't think we ever tried it. I think seldom we do that. When we drive, when somebody cut in front of us, the first thing is, get out of my way. But you never yell, oh, Lord Jesus. Well, when you say Lord Jesus, when somebody cut in front of you, you are enjoying Christ as that thing you're driving. Hallelujah. But we're not impressed unless we come to this conference to see to be impressed how Christ can be our everything, why Christ has to be our everything. And he can be your everything. He can be your wisdom. He can be your knowledge. He can be your life. He can be your light. He can be your love. He can be everything in your personal life, in your family life, as well as in the church life. The church life, I mean, again, is that which was created by the Lord Jesus himself. He spoke forth the church came into being. Just forget about our own ideas of what is the church. Remember this one thing in Matthew 16, 18. I will build my church. The church is that church. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, my job assignment today, this morning, this evening, is to share message one. Let's all declare the subject of message one. You have the outline in front of you. You should have the subject of this message. Okay, amen. Again. Now, please turn to the verses on your outline sheets. The first verse is Matthew 1:1, right? Now, before we read it, we have to have this appreciation to read the word. Why we read the word? Because there's a blessing in the word. When the Lord came to Capernaum in the synagogue, as a custom, he read Luke 4:16. It was his custom to read, nothing else. Is that something? So to read is actually a blessing. You read Revelation 1:3, where it says, blessed is he who reads, and those who hear. Not only we need to read, but also we need to hear. You read, I hear. I read, you hear. Then we are blessed. Not only we're blessed, we also can keep this word of the prophecy. The word that is written in this prophecy, in this outline, when we read it, when we participate in reading it, there is a blessing in the reading. There's a blessing when the Lord read Isaiah in chapter 4 of Gospel of Luke. Reading does something for you as well as for others. Because when you read, others can hear. Right? When I read, you can also hear. So to read these verses is not just something casually to be cast away, to be disregarded. No, to read means your blessing is hinges on your reading. So when we read, we should read it in our spirit and strongly and enjoyably. Oh, Lord. Amen. So maybe brothers, read Matthew 1:1 first. Amen. Now, sisters, please read the last verse of the New Testament. That is Revelation 22:21. Amen. Amen. Let's be strong, sisters. Let's declare again. Revelation 22:21. So those who are older than 35, please read Acts 2:42. Amen. Hallelujah. And those who are younger than 35, please read 1 Timothy 1:3-4. So I can be blessed when you're here, when I hear you. Amen. Well, to see that the word Lord and Christ are equivalent, let me turn to Acts 2:36 and read to you. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus. So Jesus is both Lord Jesus and Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, let's all declare Roman numeral 1.
First name and
the
last name in the New Testament is Jesus. Roman
name Jesus
Christ is the Son and content of the New Testament.
So, the first time a name is mentioned in the New Testament is what? Jesus Christ. And the last time a name is mentioned in is what? Lord Jesus. Little different, right? If you want to argue, what's the difference? The difference is no difference. Jesus Christ becomes Lord Jesus. Means Jesus Christ, Jesus Lord, and becomes Christ Jesus. The same, refers to the same person. So, amen. So college and graduate students, brothers, please read A. So what we just read said it all, right? It's all inclusive. Jesus Christ, his first name, time the mention is mentioned, and Christ Lord Jesus was the last time the Jesus Christ is mentioned. So then, college graduate student sisters, please read B. Amen. Let us all read the Roman numeral 2. English sense, please read A. Chinese speaking sense, please read your outline in Chinese. We all have the English or other languages in translation, so we could understand what you're saying. So, Chinese sense, please read B in Chinese. Amen. Amen. Now, the Korean speaking sense, please read C. Okay, go ahead. Amen. C. In Korean. Amen. And the Spanish speaking sense, please read D in Spanish. This evening we do not have Filipino, no Polish, no Bulgarian translation in our lives. But someday, you never know, we might. Okay? Depends upon your burden. If your burden is to bring all your friends in your own language groups to come to enjoy Christ as everything in the church, someday we will have the need to print out the translation in Filipinos, Polish, Bulgarian, Russian, what have you. Is that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. So now let us read Roman numeral 3. Now, what is Ezekiel 1:10? So let's turn to Ezekiel 1:10. Let's all read together if you have it. Okay? Amen. All right. As for the likeness of their faces, they had the face of a man, and the four of them had the face of a lion on the right side. And the four of them had the face of an axe on the left side, and the four of the face of the eagle. Menorah described this four sides of the faces this way. He says, the right side is lion, the left side is ox, but the front side is man, the back side is eagle. Which is absolutely true, according to 1:10. You read it, the face of man was mentioned first. And then you described that the face of the lion is on the right, and the face of the ox on the left. And then the eagle was mentioned last, of course, must be facing backwards. Amen. Now, will the saints from Waukegan please read A? Waukegan here? Amen. Yeah. Go ahead, read it. Amen. In Spanish. Stand up and read it. Even you have alone, but next time you bring more people here. But anyway, Waukegan, please read in Spanish if you wish. Ezekiel 1:10. Yeah. Okay, Matthew. Yes, please. Sorry, interrupted you. Come on. Amen. Waukegan. Spanish. Roman. A. Point A. Amen. So what is the face of a liar means? Means that in relation to sin, the world, and Satan, we are bold, strong, victorious, and reigning.
Amen.
That means we will never be timid against sin, the world, and Satan. And we need to be strong, not to be weak against sin, world, and Satan. And to be overcoming, victorious against sin, world, and Satan, and reigning over sin and world and Satan.
Amen.
Revelation 5:5 read, and one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome, so that he may open the scroll and its seven seals. Scroll and seven seals means God's economy. But it's a seal. God's economy to you is open? Hardly. To us, God's economy is closed. It's a seal. Not only one time, but seven seals. But the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is worthy to open that scroll, God's economy. Seven times, completely open, not just a little bit. Amen. Don't you like to see God's economy? Enjoy Christ as the Lion. Amen. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by the offense of the one death reigned, and through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ." This is to enjoy Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, to reign over sin, world, and Satan. Oh, Lord Jesus, don't you want to enjoy Christ as everything? Amen. Enjoy him as the Lion. Amen. Now, all the saints from Oak Lawn, please read, or Tinley Park or Gates Park, the point B.
Mark portrays him as the rock, the servant of God. We need to be one with Christ, to have the face of an ox.
Amen.
Indicating that we are willing to bear the burden.
Amen.
To labor and even to sacrifice ourselves.
Amen. The reference in 1 Corinthians 15:10 reads this way. But by the grace of God, I labored more abundantly, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Amen. And 58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us enjoy Christ in the book of Mark as ox. And Acts 20:24 says, but I consider my life of no account as if precious to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus, to solemnly testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Philippians 2:30 says, because of the work of the Christ, he Epaphroditus drew near unto death, risking his life, that he might fill up your lack of service toward me. Well, saints from the church in Streamwood, please read the C. Amen. Viaho. Amen. Streamwood. Amen. Luke. Amen. Amen. Okay, your chance is right now. Amen. David says give you another chance. Right. Amen. See, yeah, amen. Amen. Amen.
The humanity of Jesus.
Amen. How we live the humanity of Jesus? Because we enjoy Jesus. That Ephesians 4, 20-21 says, but you did not so learn Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him as the reality is in Jesus. The reality of our living is in Jesus. The reality of proper humanity is in Jesus. Man, Jesus. God became a man whose name is called Jesus. Now, those who are from Palestine, please read D. Amen. 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 Your reference says Ephesians 6:15. I think it should be Ephesians 6:13. But anyway, I just read Ephesians 6:13 for you. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Take the face of God, that you may be able to withstand in this evil day, and having done all, to stand. And Philippians 4:12 and 13. Amen. In everything and in all things, I am able to do all things in Him who empowers me. Him is God. God can empower you. You need the power? Go to God. God is in Christ. So we cannot go God directly. We can go to Christ directly. So enjoy God as my power. Amen. And then all the saints in the church in Chicago, please declare Roman numeral 4. And then section by section, please take turns to read all 13 aspects of outline A to M, starting from this side first. Amen. This section first. B, last section. C, last section, 3. Last section, D. E. F here. In Ephesians and Colossians, it's the Christ who is the life, the content, and the head of the body, the church. G. Amen. H. I.
In 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, it is the Christ who gives God's economy, enabling us to know how to protect ourselves in the house of God.
J. Hebrews. The present Christ is a big research subject. For those who are interested, you need to spend all your entire life in understanding the present Christ. Don't let this simple term befuddle you. You need to get in there to get the present Christ into you. Amen. So let me read the substantiation verses. Hebrews 8:2 says, a minister of the holy places, even of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. This is present Christ. 4:14-15, having therefore a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of Man, let us hold fast the confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all respects like us, yet without sin. Here's another big subject for us to study. 7:26, for such a high priest was also fitting for us, holy, guileless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and having become higher than the heavens. Amen. Now, K, over there. Amen. L, in Epistles of John.
It is the Christ who is the light and fellowship of the children of God in God's family.
Let's all declare the M together. In Revelation is the Christ who is walking in this age, ruling over the world, this kingdom in the coming age, and expressing God in full glory in the new heaven and new earth for you. That's why we need to enjoy Christ as everything.
Amen.
13 major points, each one you can devote your whole life into it. Now let all of us to study Roman numeral 5 together. Amen. The apostles' teaching. These two references we have read, because of time, we just skip over. And let those who come to the church life over 30 years, please read A.
In the first stage of
and those who come to the church life for over 4 years to 30 years, please read B. Amen. Those who have just come in to know the Lord's recovery in less than 3 years, or was just born in the Lord's recovery today, please read C. For those who just read this part of the third stage of Christ, ministry of Christ, if you are kind of puzzled, that's good. That means there's a challenge for you. Amen. To get into what is intensified stage of the ministry of Christ. Amen. I'm sure that we all have some kind of inkling of what is the ministry of Christ in the first stage. It's incarnation. God became a man. We know that kind of ministry. We heard it on the radio, we watch it on the television, we heard our father, mother, and whatever in our past experiences, right? But some of you may not understand what is the second stage of ministry of Christ. Life-giving spirit? I never heard. I don't believe there was spirit and the soul are about the same thing. You know, I was taught that there's no such thing called the spirit. It's all something mysterious. No, Christ become a life-giving spirit is a definite term in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 50:45b. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Well, for you to study this, it's a good start today. Amen? And for the stage of intensification, you probably all wonder, what is Christ's ministry in his intensifying stage? But just give you an example of Christ as the Lamb of God, okay? In the first stage, Christ, the Lamb of God, is to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Take away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away from the sin of the world. 1:29, John. In the second stage, Christ, the Lamb I enjoyed, yes, that by giving himself as a spiritual feast for us to eat, so that we may grow up and be constituted with God, Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:17a-18b says, "For our Passover, Christ also has been sacrificed. So let us keep the feast." So the second stage of Christ as the Lamb of God is for us to enjoy, so that we can be constituted, so we can live, act, everything dictated by the life of this Lamb of God. And then the intensifying stage is, "Behold, the lions of the tribe of Judah has overcome so that he may open the scroll and its seven seals. And I see in the midst of the throne a lamb standing as having just been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." This is Christ in his intensifying stage, the third stage. So these are just a brief description of the three stages of Christ in one item alone that is called the Lamb of God. Okay, now to summarize, let us all read the banners of the conference together. Amen. Turn to your banners. Amen. That's this section, verse. No banners? Nobody has the banner? Okay. All right. If you don't have the banner, let me read my banner. The Bible is a book of life, and this life is a living person. The wonderful, all-inclusive Christ as the unsearchably rich one. The church is produced from the unsearchably rich of Christ, which are what Christ is to us, such as light, life, righteousness, and holiness. What he has for us and what he has accomplished, attained, and obtained for us. Third banner, we need to experience and enjoy the all-inclusive Christ as Emmanuel, God with us, so that according to God's economy, the individual Emmanuel may become the church as the corporate Emmanuel. Last banner, we all need to eat the same spiritual food and drink the same spiritual drink. Enjoy the all-inclusive Christ as everything in the church, as the corporate Christ, the body Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
So the general subject for this conference is to recover Christ as everything in the church. I think at the beginning of the year, we recover this matter of enjoying Christ as everything. It's very important in the church life. So I'm going to share the message too. But I want to remind you, please bring the outline tomorrow because this outline is going to be used this evening and tomorrow. Before I go into share the message to you, I want to give you some feeling, some essence, some view concerning this conference. To some who are the spend much time in the church life may feel that this subject is somehow you familiar with. But I tell you, our burden is not just to teach you more doctrine concerning Christ. Our burden is just to let you to enjoy Christ and to gain Christ. Amen. As Paul in Philippians 3:8 said that he that count all things as loss, that he may gain Christ. So we hope that we can gain Christ this weekend. And the reason why we have this subject, that recovering Christ as everything, I think it's very much related to the book we just read in the winter training, the book of Daniel. You know, the book of Daniel, Daniel saw the many visions, especially concerning the great trial of the children of Israel, right? According to recovery version, the house of God has been destroyed four times by the great image. First by Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, right? The second time by Greek king, Syrian king, the Antiochus Epiphanes. The third time by Rome, the prince of Rome, Titus. The fourth time by Antichrist. But I tell you, for the first three times, there has never been such a time that the children of Israel suffered so much under the Antiochus Epiphanes. The footnote says that he profaned the temple. He abolished the daily sacrifice. He even went so far to extend that he erected an altar to Zeus. So that he offered swine on the altar. He went so far to this extent. So no wonder the Bible said that this person called Antiochus Epiphanes is a full type of Antichrist. But that is not my point. My point is that before Daniel saw this vision, the book tells us he saw the wonderful Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah! This wonderful Christ becomes his consolation, becomes his stabilization, becomes his expectation, and becomes his encouragement.
Amen.
So I feel there's a need for us, beside the book of Daniel, we are going to see more Christ this weekend. And the more I dive into this message, the more I feel that, wow, there are so many riches in this conference. I tell you, if you enjoy Christ, if you experience Christ, if you gain Christ, then there will be an effect. What effect? That you will be in the reality of the church life. I'll just give you an example, which my brother will share this evening. You know, in Matthew 1:23, he said that the virgin shall be with a child, and his name is called what? Emmanuel. And what's the meaning of Emmanuel? God with us. You know that in Matthew 18, the Lord Jesus said, whenever there are two or three gathered in my name, he will be in their midst. So what's that? That is Emmanuel. And at the end of this book, Matthew 28, the Lord Jesus charged us to preach the gospel to all the nations. He said, behold, I will be with you until the consummation of this age. I will be with you. What's the meaning of I will be with you? Emmanuel. So from the individual Emmanuel to a corporate Emmanuel, from the individual Christ to the corporate Christ, What's that? That is the effect for our enjoying Christ. So today, we said we are in the church life. But whether you are in the church life or you are not in the church life, it's depending on how much Christ you enjoy. If you enjoy Christ, then we have a genuine church life. No Christ, no church. More Christ, more church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So today, we are in the church. Why? Because we enjoy Christ. And I tell you, the very Christ you enjoy is not just resting on you. This Christ will become part of the church life. I know some saints, they are in some kind of environment. They are in some kind of a distress. But when they experience Christ in that kind of environment, then after a period of time, some people who also had this kind of environment, and he impart, he supplied this Christ to them. And this is the reality of the church life. So, this evening, we share about this all-inclusive Christ, this unsearchable Christ. It's not just for us to gain Christ, but this Christ will bring us into the reality of the church life.
Amen.
But I want to say more for this point. But if you want to gain Christ, you have to realize, as just Brother John shared, that there are three stages for this Christ. The book of the New Testament is concerning a wonderful person. And this person is Christ. But this person has three stages. In the four Gospels, we have the first stages. That is the first stage of his incarnation. And from the book of Acts until the book of Judah, we have the second stage, the stage of inclusion. And when you come to the Revelation, it seems that this Christ was changed. We will talk about tomorrow. This is the stage of intensification. So in English, we use three I's. The first I is incarnation. The second I is inclusion. The third I is intensification. I tell you, if you want to enjoy Christ, if you want to experience Christ, you have to realize what kind of stage we are in now. I know some Christians, when they read the Bible, they like to experience Christ in his first stage. He said, as long as I can lie down on the breast of the Lord Jesus, then I will be satisfied. Right? Like the Apostle John, he lied on the breast of the Lord Jesus. Some people may say, wow, if I can go back to those times, I can lie down in the breast of the Lord Jesus, then I will be satisfied. But I tell you, it is impossible. Why? Because that is the Christ on the first stage. And some people, when they are in their sickness, they will say, as long as I can touch the fringe of the Lord Jesus' garment, then my heel will be healed. Is that true? No. You experience Christ in the wrong stage. Because that is only in the stage of his incarnation. At the end, for the first stage, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:45 say, the life Satan became the life-giving spirit. Yeah. So, in the second stage, if you want to enjoy Christ, what should you do? What should you do? You should exercise your spirit. Amen. Yeah. You shall enjoy your spirit.
Amen.
You shall remain in your spirit. You shall work according to the spirit. If you stay in the spirit, stay, release your spirit and enjoy spirit and follow the spirit, then you are experience the very Christ in the second stage.
Amen.
But is that enough? I tell you, when you read the book of Revelation, which was written about 90 AD, when John saw this triune God, he said the spirit was a seven spirits, as seven spirits before the throne of God. I checked with John Nielsen Darby's New Translation and King James Version, they always add in S, seven spirits. What's that? That is the very Christ in the third stage. Then I want to pose a question for you. Which stage are we in now? Are we in the first stage? No. Are we only in the second stage? No. Because after 90 AD, the age has went to the third stage, the stage of intensification. You may wonder, what does it mean to experience Christ in the third stage? I'll give you two examples. Our brother John has mentioned that in 1962, when Brother Witness Lee came to the United States, the very first conference he held is on the all-inclusive Christ. Right? Did Brother Jim went to that conference? Amen. I tell you, when you read that book, The All-Inclusive Christ, you found that all the scripture basis on that conference is very few. Most of them are based on Deuteronomy chapter 8 concerning all kind of product in the good land, right? The barley, the wheat, the figs, the pomegranates, all kind of fruits, the vegetables, the animals, the minerals, the berries, the waters. But look at the outline in message 2. How many verses? How many verses in this outline? What's this? This is the age of intensification. We not just enjoy very few verses. In this stage, the riches of Christ, the unsearchable Christ, need to be supported by so many verses, so many riches from the portion of the ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We are in the third stage.
Amen.
Give you another example. Last year, I went back to Taiwan to attend the International Chinese Speaking Conference. Do you know how many saints attended that conference? 25,000. 25,000 saints gathered together in the back stadium. And do you know how long do we meet? We meet from 10 a.m. in the morning until 6 p.m. in the evening. 8 hours long. But while I was sitting there and looking around, I said, wow, this is a miniature of the New Jerusalem. Nobody talking. Nobody eating. Nobody drinking. The 25,000 saints, they all enjoying Christ. I tell you, 30 years ago, we did not imagine this kind of matter. 8 hours of meeting, without any entertainment, without any show, without any performance, just enjoying Christ. Saints, I tell you, the age is different. Now, we are in the age of intensification. Everything has been intensified. Our growth of life has been intensified. Our pursuing of the truth has been intensified. Our function in the law, in the church life has been intensified. Hallelujah. This is to experience Christ in the intensified stage. So, praise the Lord. This is a general view for this conference. And we have 5 messages for this conference. The first category is for the first 2 messages that give us a panoramic view for the Christ. And from message 3 to message 5, we have the second category. That is, if we enjoy this Christ, experience Christ, then we were brought into the corporate Emmanuel. We are brought into the body of Christ, and we will enjoy the miniature of the New Jerusalem. Amen. So, message 2. The unsearchable one. Christ, the unsearchable one. Christ is all-inclusive. Christ is so unsearchable. And you may wonder, since Christ is unsearchable, how come you can just use one meeting to speak out all the riches of Christ? That's a problem. But we have a secret. What's the secret? The secret is in the footnote of the recovery version. As Brother John shared that, if you look at the footnote in recovery version, message 1.1, you can find the Roman numeral 1 and Roman numeral 2 in message 1. And you find the footnote in Ezekiel 1.10, you will find Roman numeral 3 in message 1. Message 4 is a classical footnote in Hebrew 1.3, which point out all the different aspects of Christ in the different books of the New Testament. So praise the Lord. We have one message encapsulate all the riches of this all-inclusive Christ. Amen. So we are going to share the message to Christ. He is the unsearchable one. Amen. Christ is the unsearchable one. If we enjoy this unsearchable Christ, then there will be an effect. What effect? In the book of Job, the Job say, "I was hearing by the hearing, I was hearing by the ear of my ear, but now I have seen you. Therefore, I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes." When you see Christ, when you enjoy Christ, you yourself will be diminished and the Christ will be uplifted. This is the effect for enjoying Christ. So, the more you see yourself, then you will become a loser. The more you see this wonderful Christ, and you will become the overcomer. So the secret in the church life is not just is not to look at yourself. The more you look at yourself, you will be disappointed. The more you look at Christ, you will become the overcomer. Amen. So the unsearchable one, amen. Christ is the unsearchable one, amen. In the book of Luke chapter 24, when two disciples, they went to Emmaus. The Lord Jesus opened their eye to know the scripture. And the Bible say, from the book of Moses to the Psalm, and to the prophets, everything concerning himself. Everything concerning himself. So, you read this verse. What is the Bible talking about? The book in the Psalm, the book in the Moses, the book in the prophet, that composed of the most three parts of the Old Testament. What did he talking about? It is talking about nothing but Christ. Amen. If you take Christ away from the Bible, then I tell you, the Bible will have left nothing. You will subtract every part of the Bible, then the Bible will left nothing. I give you a proof. I check with the book, the conclusion of the New Testament. Christ is first the fulfillment of the prophecy in the Old Testament. Who is the lion of the tribe of Judah? Christ. Who is the seed of woman? Christ. Who is a child was born for us? Christ. If you subtract this kind of verses, which has about 49 verses in the Bible, then you will lose a very big part of the Old Testament. Then Christ is also the figures, the shadows of the Old Testament. What is the manna descending from the heaven? Christ. Who is the Passover lamb? Christ. Who is the reality of all the offerings? Christ. So you subtracted all these kind of verses from the Old Testament, you will lose 34 verses. And then, in the New Testament, Christ is the reality of all the parables. He is a new wine, right? He is a good shepherd. He is a good Samaritan. He is the, what? The head, the body, the cornerstone, the foundation stone. He is everything. So if you subtracted all these riches from the Bible, what do you left in the Bible? I said to you, nothing. So the whole Bible is composed for this wonderful Christ, his unsearchable riches. So this is the Bible, the Christ we are talking about. So we have a message two, we have a 39 point. Wow, 39 points. Amen. Do you get ready to eat for 8 hours? I won't devote it too many times in each point. Because if only I spend 2 minutes on each point, then we will meet about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock tonight. So I won't do that for the sake for you. I just want to emphasize some highlight on this point. Before the meeting, a brother said that This message is just you bring to the Chinese restaurant. You know, Chinese restaurant is very different from Western, right? Robert, why you are laughing? You know, when the Chinese restaurant, they serve meal, they are the 12 courses of meal, right? They bring the meal again and again. The first one may be the duck. The second one may be the vegetable. The third one is the beef, something like that. But I tell you, when the waitress bring the dishes to the table, you cannot bring the whole dish to yourself and say, I want to eat the whole dish. No, you can only pick a little bit for each dish. Right? But after 12 dishes, you feel such a satisfaction. So we have 39-course meal.
Amen.
I want you to bring eat out the whole thing. I just want to take a little bit from Japan. Then you will feel so satisfied. Amen. So Roman 1 to Roman 3, we have Christ in eternity. Christ is the eternity and only begotten Son of God, the second of the divine Trinity. He is self-existing, ever-existing, and cohering with the Father and the Spirit in eternity. He is with the Father and the Spirit, the only God. Okay, the first point, what did the first point say? The first 3 points say that from eternity past, Christ is the only Son of God. You know that during the Christian histories, some people say that Christ was not God until a certain point of time. I tell you, this kind of teaching is wrong. Because in John 1:1 say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Christ from eternity past, he is God. And also, he is not only one-third of God. Somebody may think that, well, we have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in the deity. So Christ is only one-third of the deity. I say to you, this concept is Christ. It's wrong. Christ is the complete God and the perfect man. Amen. And 4, say Christ in his creation. In creation, he is the creator. John 1:3 say that nothing came into being. Everything came into being. All things come into being through him. So in this universe, Christ is the creator. And he is not only the creator, he also is a means to create everything. There is a footnote in Colossians, which was taken from a footnote in Darby. He said that all things has been created in him, which means all things has been created in the power of his person. We have some scientists here. We have some brothers who are teaching in Northwestern University. They are the scientists. I believe that they can tell you, the more they study the science, the more they feel that there is a creator in this universe. But nobody knows who is the creator of this universe. But from the Bible, we say, Christ is the creator of this universe. And all sin has been created through him. And he is not only the creator. Point 6 says he is the firstborn of all creation. It's very strange. Firstborn. Christ, as a man, he's a creature. But he is not only a creature, but he also the firstborn of creation. You may ask, what do you mean? He is the firstborn of creation. I say to you, it's so mysterious. Several years ago, I read an article in an article called Affirmation and Critique. Volume 2, number 2, there's an article called Christ the Firstborn. In this article, it said, when God created the universe, he has a model. He has a pattern. And this pattern is Christ. Christ is so beautiful. Christ is so perfect. So when God created mankind, created everything, he has a model in front of him. And this model is Christ. Amen. Christ. The firstborn, amen, hallelujah, wonderful. And from Rome numeral 10 to Roman 14, we have Christ in his human living. Could we read Rome numeral 10 together? Amen. He lives in his... is God manifested in the Amen. Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Amen. Christ lived on earth for 33 and a half years. I don't know that. Have you ever think of the question that why God, why Christ need to live on this earth for 33 and a half years? If he lived on his earth just for accomplished redemption, he can die. He can be on the cross instantly after he was born. Right? Because when he was born, he had blood. And he had a perfect humanity. So in order to accomplish the redemption, Christ do not need to live for this earth for 33 and a half years. He maybe just need to 20 years will be enough for him. But the reason why Christ lived on this earth for 33 and a half years is that he wants to set up a model. He wants to set up a pattern. How could a human being manifest God on this earth? You know, it's very strange that when the Lord Jesus, he began his ministry, he go to the seashore and he met Peter. And he said to Peter, come after me. And it's very strange. Peter dropped everything, his parents, his boat, his net, and followed Jesus. If a Howard go to USC and say, come after me, who will follow you? I don't know. But how come the Lord Jesus said to the disciple, come after me, and they follow him? You know, the footnote said, that may be in the appearance of the Lord Jesus, there are something attractive people. Maybe in the way of his speaking, maybe the way of his living that attracted people. So the reason why Christ must live on this earth for 33 and a half years is that he wants to manifest God in the flesh. This is the reason why. And also, point out, Romans numeral 12 says that he is the tabernacle of God as God's movable dwelling place among men. He is a movable dwelling place among men. When Abraham, he traveled in a good land, where did he live? There is not a fixed place for him to live. Whenever he lived, he bring with his tent. So, this tent is a movable tent. And when the Lord Jesus traveled on the earth, he is the movable tent. Whenever he goes, God goes with him. He is a movable tent. And he is also the faithful witness of God, and he is also the light of the world. He who follows him shall by no means in the darkness, but see the light of life. Amen. Okay, number 15 is a point concerning death. We read together. Amen. He died in the all-inclusive death through which he crucified Satan, the old serpent, sin, the world, the fallen man with his flesh, the all creation represented by all human men, and the law with some absences, for the accomplishment of God's eternal redemption, and release his divine life from the share of his humanity to be dispensed into them. So, 15 is concerning his death. There are several reasons that Christ needs to die. The first reason is that there is an old enemy, Satan, that needs to be dealt with, right? The first item. And Satan bringing the sin, that also needs to be dealt with. And the sin pertaining to flesh, that also needs to be dealt with. Not only so, you know, God has created this universe. But Satan usurping God's created universe, and the universe become the world. The world has been created by God for man's existence. But Satan usurping the God's creating world, and the world become something usurping people. So that also needs to be dealt with. And also what? The ordinances, right? The old creation. Not all need to be dealt with. And eventually, apart from these six negative elements, there's a positive element, is that God wants to release his life. Amen. Hallelujah. So when Christ was dying on the earth, on the cross, Satan has been defeated. The ordinances has been taken away. The world has been crucified. And the divine life has been released. Amen. So no wonder we call this death is an all-inclusive death. Amen. And after he died, he resurrected. Rome numeral 16 is about his resurrected. He resurrected among the dead, and through his resurrection, his humanity has been designated as the firstborn son of God. You know, before his resurrection, he was called the first, only begotten son of God, right? In the John, his name is called the only begotten son of God. But now, he is called the firstborn son of God. Well, what's the difference? If you are your house, you are the only begotten, that means what? That means you are the only one in your house. But if you call you are the firstborn, that means you had the second born, the third born, the fourth born, the fifth born, the millionth born, the billionth born. I don't know how many Christians now has been born by God. But praise the Lord, he is now only the first, only begotten son of God. He became the firstborn of the son of God. And we become his many sons. So when he was regenerated, he was resurrected, he regenerated his believers, his chosen one, to become the body of his of the Christ. Amen. 17. Hallelujah. We make a very good pace. Now to come to 17 on his ascension. Could we read the point A under the Rome numeral 17? Amen. The Lord of all men and all things to rule over the whole universe. Amen. When he was resurrected and ascended to the heaven, he became the ruler of the whole universe and the Lord of all men. He arranged all kinds of environment in order for his chosen one to be saved. During these few years, we have so many dear saints from mainland China. And many saints testify to me that when they live in a small village in the mainland China, they don't have the chance to hear the gospel. Like this brother Wu, hey, 轻松站起来一下. He lived in a very high mountain in mainland China. Before he came to the United States, it's virtually no chance for him to receive the Lord. But praise the Lord, one time, one day, the Lord arranged everything. He is the ruler of this universe. For what? For arranging the arrangement for us to hear the gospel and to be saved. This is what he is doing in the universe. And from Rome 18 to 32, wow, we have 229 riches. This is the Christ in the church age. So rich. I don't know how to say. So many points. Amen. So let's just skip it. Amen. From Rome 33 to 36, we have Christ's second coming back. Do you know that Christ not only come the first time, and he also wants to come back. And when he come back, there are three things happen. First, our mortal body will be transfigured to be the same with the body of his glory. Today, our body is called the mortal body, full of all kinds of illness, full of all kinds of problem. But when he comes, our mortal body will be transfigured. And when our body has been transfigured, we will become his bride. And at the same day, this bride will become the warrior to fight against God's enemy, the Antichrist. This is his second coming. And from the numeral 37, we have Christ in the Millennium Kingdom. And finally, The last point, 39, we have Christ in the New Jerusalem. We read A, B, C, D, E under Rome numeral 39. Amen. The husband of God's redeemed people as his wife in eternity. The temple with God. The Lamb with God. To rule over the new heaven and the new earth. The tree of life, nourishing the entire New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Since this 39 points is that this all-inclusive, unsubjectable Christ as recorded in the Bible. Do you enjoy this Christ this afternoon?
Amen.
Amen. Our burden is that we cannot, after we enjoy this Christ, we can be uplifted. We can be transcendent. We will be satisfied. We will be the full of the glory after we see this wonderful, excellent, and marvelous Christ. And this kind of enjoyment will bring us into the reality of the church life. Amen. So, praise the Lord. I just finished it. We have about 25 minutes for the saints to sharing. So we can come to the microphone and share the same point you enjoyed this afternoon. Amen.